Andrew is the Aussie bloke living in the US. Heather is the American gal living in Australia. Together, they travel the world sharing strategies on how to put your business on autopilot. Doing business online is no longer about having a website. To get more clients and take care of the ones you have, you will need a map. They've got it. So sit back and relax and welcome aboard. This flight is bound to autopilot your business.
Hello and welcome back to podcast number 9. This is Andrew McCauley for Autopilot Your Business. And we are excited, and we meaning myself and the lovely Heather Porter. Are you there, Heather?
I am here, of course, Andrew McCauley. It's good to be back. Welcome back, everybody, to podcast. Are we on number 9 already?
We're on number 9 already. Now, can you believe that? Now, our last podcast, we did the LinkedIn, and we had some pretty amazing results to that. Lots of people checked this out, and lots of new comments and fans from doing that podcast. So that was pretty cool. Mm. And we did ask them what would they like to hear on our next podcast, which is this one. So, Heather, you want to tell them what the winning topic was for this particular podcast?
The winning topic is Twitter. And it's Twitter because there's a nice mix of reactions around it, whether it's actually worthwhile or a waste of time. So today we're going to clear it up that it is in fact not a waste of your time, and it is a very, very valuable tool to use in your business.
Yes, totally. And it was actually surprising. I didn't think it'd be Twitter. But then I started looking around at some resources that people could go and find out about Twitter. And there's a lot of free information out there, but there's not a lot of how-to courses, particularly for strategies and things like that, to how to really utilize Twitter. So, as you said, there's a bit of a gap between the people that love it and the people that hate it. So I guess we want to try and bridge that gap today, right?
Exactly. And to prove that Twitter is, in fact, actually one of the most amazing resources for quick, timely market research, to find new clients, and to engage your current clientele. So let's get stuck in, shall we?
I think we should.
Let's
start. Where do we start with Twitter?
Let's start at the beginning. For anybody that's really new with Twitter, maybe who doesn't even have an account, let's talk about what it is first and how to get a profile.
Well, I guess the thing about Twitter is that it is pretty much replacing the 24-hour news service that you see on TV. You know, back in the 90s, early 2000s, we had cable going. We had, Foxtel and all that sort of stuff going on in Australia. And there was news channels that were going all around the clock. Twitter now has pretty much replaced a lot of news services or specifically enhanced them. Mm. And it is the place to find out where things are happening. Now, it can be things that are happening on a worldwide scale, you know, earthquakes and disasters and celebrities and celebrity deaths and that sort of thing. But it also is a great place for you to find what's happening in your industry, what's happening in your niche, who are the people, what are your customers doing, what are your competitors doing. And it's a great way to spy on all that sort of stuff. Never before, really, have we ever seen so much availability of information about your A, your target market, and B, your competitors. So it's a very simple tool to use. In fact, I think part of the simplicity is the confusion for a lot of people, really.
That's actually a really good point because, what is it, 100? It's 140 characters, isn't it?
140 characters, that's all you have.
Yeah.
All you have is 140 characters. It was designed to sort of fit into a standard text message.
Yeah, that's how it started. Yeah, exactly. It started as a tool to actually text phones, didn't it? You could get mobile updates.
Totally. So you've got 140 characters. So there's an art now to really getting your message across as quickly and swiftly as you can inside 140 characters. So one of the things that you want to think about when you're starting Twitter is don't be intimidated, firstly. I mean, It's the learning curve can be a little steep, but essentially it boils down to pretty much three things. It's reading what people have got to say. It's writing things that people want to know about, and also sharing information that you find relevant to you.
So I'd actually jump in there really quickly too and add one more. I think engagement. If you go to somebody's Twitter wall, we'll jump into that in a moment, but if you go to somebody's Twitter page or profile and it's just them saying things without any engagement to other people, it kind of, you think, oh, well, that's just on automation, or they're not actually a real person, or whatever. So I'd add engagement to the mix too.
Yeah, good. And that word automation, we'll talk about automation.
Yes, we will.
But, you know, Twitter isn't Facebook. You know, Facebook's got a lot of social interaction style aspects to it, lots of pictures and a lot of bits and pieces like that with friends that you actually know. Twitter, and it's okay to do this, Twitter has a lot of people that you're getting to know. It's all about making new connections and sharing information and riding the information curve. So, you know, after a while, you'll get used to those little differences between Twitter and Facebook too. So,
let's start quickly, I guess, with the profile. With Twitter, you have something called a Twitter handle or a username, and that's you know, whatever you want it to be, really. So when you sign up for a Twitter account, you get to choose your username. Do you have any pointers on what to consider when choosing your name?
Yeah, if you can make your username relevant to what you do or your name, that's going to be beneficial. So, you know, if you've got CNN might have this, their handle or their Twitter name might be CNN News. Now, you're going to know exactly where and what sort of information those people are going to be delivering. Best Buy customer service or Best Buy service is going to be relevant to what Best Buy does. So if you can put either your name or something that indicates what you do as part of your name, then people are going to find it easier to really say, well, it's obvious what it is, what industry you're in.
Good point. And remember, guys, that your Twitter username is actually what shows up in your URL of your Twitter account. So it'd be twitter.com/ and then your username. So it is important that you choose something that really, you know, works with you and your industry.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too about Twitter is that if you do a search for your name on Google, Twitter is one of the top 5 or 6 results that will come back on Google. So your Twitter name will come back in Google results. So if somebody does a search for your name on Google, remember your Twitter handle is going to show up in those results as well. So you want to make sure that if your handle's showing up, people actually know what it is that you do.
Well said. So what about the profile? What else? I know you have a little tiny spot to actually write a bio, don't you?
Well, you have 160 characters to write your bio, and in your bio you want to make sure that it's got some stuff that you want people to know what you do. So if, for instance, you've got some keywords in there, like let's say you're a fitness trainer, then you may want to have some keywords like weight loss, fitness training, group training sessions, and that sort of stuff. Let it be human readable, so people who read it can see that it makes sense. But also, if someone was to do a search for you on Twitter with those keywords, your name would come up. So you want to make sure that your bio indicates exactly what it is that you do. Now, the other thing about your profile is your picture. And you want to make sure the picture is a picture of you. Make sure it's a picture of you. Remember, this is social media. We are doing social stuff. We're connecting. We're building relationships. People want to see who you are.
So you don't recommend using a logo, then? You recommend using like the CEO's photo or something like that?
Definitely. We want a photo of you as an avatar. We don't want you to have a celebrity in your place. We don't want your pet. You don't want to see your baby. We don't want to see your partner. You know, that's not who they came to see. They came to see you. We don't want close-ups of your eyeball. I've seen that all the time lately. It's like, don't do that sort of stuff.
Or the famous lips. I've seen that too.
The lips. Show us who you really are.
Yeah.
You know, don't try and get too all arty-farty and make it special, because not everyone's like that. And if that's really who you are, then that's good. But most people aren't like that. So make sure that the photo is pretty cool. The other thing that you want to think about also is a tailored background. A branded background. A branded background is great for brand awareness. If you've got a logo and some information you want to add, then you want to stick that onto your background as well. The backgrounds themselves are not what's the word I'm looking for? They're not actually, you can't click on any of the images or the links on inside the background. The background is just a picture.
Mm.
Now, the problem with the background these days, it used to be pretty safe to do a generic background. But the problem with the backgrounds is that we have so many different ranges of screen sizes out there. You know, we've got PCs, we've got Macs, we've got netbooks and laptops, we've got iPads and iPhones and all that sort of stuff, Androids, Blackberries. The problem is that each of those screen sizes is different, and your background will change slightly for each of those little devices. So you've got to remember that what you may see on one device may not be the perfect fit on another device. Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfect sense. So I think it's your profile image that's important. It's your little bio, and quickly on that point of the bio as well. Like you were saying about creativity, I think if you're just using Twitter as a social with your family and friends, that's one thing. But we're talking about using it for business. So you also don't want to take up the 160 characters in your bio and say, you know, I like green coffee and skiing. You know, it's an important place for you to actually say what you do as a business or an expert. Also, you didn't mention, what about the URL? Should you stick your URL?
So that's a great point. I was just about to say, the URL, it's the only clickable part of your entire profile, apart from inside your tweets.
Mm.
It's the only clickable part. So you want to make sure that you have your URL there. And if you can fully form it, so it's http://www, put it there. Don't use shortened links. Here's the thing with shortened links. Some of those spammy accounts have used shortened links to direct people to a sales page or some affiliate link. And people are very wary about shortened URLs inside a person's bio for their website. So make sure that people can actually see what the address is that they're going to before they click it. Mm. It just means that you're probably more likely to get click-throughs than people who are a bit wary about those shortened URLs. Now, if it's a website and you're happy to send people to your website, send it to them. If you don't have a website, then it could be your Facebook account. It could be your YouTube channel. It could be your LinkedIn profile. Send them somewhere so they can get more information if they can't get enough of you from Twitter.
That's a good point, because really, how much can they get of you in Twitter? It's a very short little place.
Yeah, totally. So people want to know a bit more about you, so send them somewhere where there's more information about you.
Yep.
You know, even it can be, as I said, it can be anywhere. Any of those, we've all got more than one URL these days. Sometimes we just don't realize it.
Good point, Andrew McCauley.
Thank you, Heather Porter.
All right. Shall we move on? What else? Is that all with the profile that we should consider?
I think so. The other thing, just on the profile, is your location.
Mm.
It's a great idea to put your location, particularly if you're a bricks and mortar business. Put the area that you serve. Now, for instance, let's say in Sydney, let's say you are a coach and your business actually did not rely on you to be only coaching. Let's say Wollongong, for instance.
Mm.
Now, if you were a vet or a doctor and you lived in Wollongong, then it's pretty safe to say that your main clientele is going to be coming from Wollongong. Now, if I was a coach or a business coach and I did my coaching over the phone or via the internet, then I wouldn't have to have only my clients living in Wollongong. They could be in Sydney, they could be in New South Wales, they could even be anywhere in Australia, really. So if I was a coach and I was going to put myself on Twitter, I may put down Wollongong, but I may also put down New South Wales, Sydney and New South Wales, because that may be where I want my market to come from. So what's going to happen in some of those search results is that if somebody types in a business coach New South Wales, your name will come up. If they type in business coach Sydney, your name will come up. If they type in business coach Wollongong, your name's going to come up. So give yourself a chance of getting your name exposed as many times as you can.
So how would you list that then in your location? Do you put commas between the words?
Yeah, just do a comma. Yeah, just do a comma. Comma space. I think you can have, there's a certain amount of characters, I can't remember off the top of my head,
mm-hmm.
but there's a certain amount of characters that you can put on there so that you can have a number of places that you can show up for. Don't put the world, don't put the universe, anything stupid like that, because no one searches for a business coach in the universe.
Maybe so some do. Maybe like some that. Do.
Well, they probably do.
But I hear what you're saying. No, it's a good point. So that's a profile.
That's
yes.
The profile. Yep.
All right. So let's move on to the meat of Twitter, and that is a tweet. Okay. A tweet.
All right, tweet, tweet, tweet. So let's talk about tweets. As we said earlier, there's 140 characters that you can use in a tweet. Remember that the 140 characters, if you ever want to reference a website or retweet somebody, let's talk about retweets in a minute, but if you ever want to reference a website, you'll often find that websites and their URLs can be really long. In fact, some can even be longer than 140 characters, which means if you went to paste that inside a tweet, it would get cut off and you wouldn't be able to send people to that website. So they use a thing called a URL shortener. There's a whole range of different shorteners out there. There's Bitly URLs, there's Hootsuite URLs, there's Tiny URLs, there's Bud URLs. There's all sorts of things. Just do a Google search for URL shortener and you'll get thousands of results.
And we'll also stick a few of our favorites in our resources tab on our website as well. So that's autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcasts. And in the resource tab, we'll put our favorites in there for you guys.
Yeah, good, good. Using a shortener, what it does essentially is it grabs the URL, the really long one that you want people to send, that you want to send people to, and it shortens it into about 18 to 20 characters, so you can add that into your tweet. So if you're going to send somebody to a particular web page, you might say, hey, check out this web page, I've really got some great value from it, and you paste your shortened URL in the tweet. It'll all match up inside 140 characters. Then you can send it off and people will be able to click on that link and still get the same result. Some URL shorteners give you some statistics and analytics as well, which I highly recommend you do that for too.
And on the point of abbreviations as well, think about your target market too. A lot of people still don't know what all these crazy, LOL is quite popular now, but there are abbreviations that you might know if you're particularly socially savvy, but a lot of your audience may have no idea what you're talking about, so be wary of what you're abbreviating.
Yeah, and I think we call that text speak.
Yeah.
Now, if you can squeeze a proper sentence into 140 characters, then try and do it.
Yes.
Don't try and do the whole texty sort of cut down talk, because not everyone gets it. Some of your people may, but not all of them. And you could be missing out on valuable interaction with people there.
Good point.
So the other thing I was going to say was, manual versus automatic on your tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a whole range of third-party applications, and we'll talk about apps a little later. But manually updating or sending tweets out is a good thing. Automating is not so good, because people start to see the robotic rhythm of that sort of activity. So make sure that you're manually sending your tweets out. Now, this can take a lot of time. It's okay to schedule tweets, but when you automatically send tweets, like some of these spinners will automatically send all sorts of tweets with keywords in it, sometimes it doesn't even make sense. Don't do it, because people will not even interact with you.
And guys, if you don't even know what a spinner is, you don't have to worry about it. You just don't want to use one. That's all.
If you're manually typing your tweets into Twitter right now, then that's a good thing.
That's what you want to do. Yes.
Don't automate anything. Yep. All right. So there you go. And I think that's about the main couple of things.
Well, what else about tweets? Like, what do you actually tweet about?
Well, there's a whole range of stuff you can tweet about. What you had for lunch today, what you had for breakfast this morning,
no.
What you had for dinner last night.
We're all tired of that, Andrew.
All right. So there's a whole bunch of different stuff you can tweet about. But here's the real thing. You want to add value to your followers.
Yeah.
If you've got followers that are coming along and they've decided to say, yes, we'll follow you, then make sure you reciprocate by giving them value. And what sort of value can you give them? You can give them stuff that is going to be interesting to them and beneficial for them. It's a compromise. They follow you, give them good information. Don't give them spammy, rubbish, or irrelevant information.
I find that what works really well... I'm sorry, I got so excited about what I was going to say, I had to jump in. I find that what works really, really well is a combination of tips... actually giving little bite-sized tips of what you can help your clientele with, and also questions to get them engaged. Photos, well, I'm sure, Andrew, you have some tips on photos in a moment, but including photos in your tweets, even videos. So really, really mixing it up. So thinking about having a full-blown conversation over time.
Yeah, it was for a long time, actually. photos and videos weren't allowed in Twitter. It was simply text. And all you could do is text and put a link to that sort of stuff. But now you can actually put photos in there, or you can put links to YouTube videos, and the video will actually play inside Twitter.
Mm.
So it's a pretty cool addition to Twitter. And if you haven't been on Twitter for a while, I strongly recommend you get in and have a look at that. The other couple of things that I wanted to talk about, there's retweets, which is when somebody else likes what you've got to say and they go and tell all of their followers. That's a great thing to be having. If you've got some people retweeting your information, then by all means, enjoy it. There's no need to really thank people for doing that. People expecting to be retweeted now, so there's no need to go and thank people individually for retweeting your information. And don't be a me tweeter. Don't go and tweet about everything about you, because people get sick of that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And one of the questions, Hadra, I get often asked is, how many times should I tell people to go to my website or my sales page? And I generally say, depends on your audience, but generally 6 to 8 tweets, every 6 to 8 tweet should be about you. So you want to add value 6 times, and then say, hey, I've done a new blog post, or here's an article that I've written, or here's something on my website. So that people can go there, but they're not seeing that it's all about you.
That's
people get turned off
pretty quickly. Really good point. I was on something this morning actually called a tweet chat, which we'll talk about later as well, and how to do those for your business. But I was in there and we were all talking about basically the value of building relationships. If you give a lot of value, people are going to literally seek out more of who you are anyway. So they're going to go into your profile and click on that link to go to your website to engage with you in other spots. So don't worry about constantly flogging yourself or your products. If you're doing a lot of good value, they're going to come after you. They'll find more out about you naturally.
Yeah, and I'll give you a perfect example of that, and that's these podcasts. You know, we're doing a lot of these podcasts.
Yep.
This is number 9. We've done 8 of these already. We're getting a lot of valuable feedback and people coming through because they know that we're giving good value on these podcasts. And people coming back and saying, hey, we want some more. What else can we find out about? So,
mm-hmm.
Here's a perfect example of how that's working for us.
It is. So just be generous, you know. If you have the knowledge, and then share it. So
yes,
another point on retweets too, because I guess the main question is, how do you actually do a retweet? There's a couple of different ways, is there not, to actually do one?
Well, yeah, there is. The retweet is you can either grab a... Copy the tweet that you've got and put capital letters RT and then paste the tweet.
Okay.
And that will retweet that for you. But most applications and Twitter itself has a little button that will say retweet. As soon as you click on the retweet, it just does all of that copying and pasting and retweeting for you. So you don't even need to do much at all. You can add your own personal touch to it, and often that gets a bit more interaction. Because it's not just a retweet button. You may say, here's a great article that I saw, and then hit the retweet button so that you've got your opinion matched with
you. You brought
up
a really good point. If you want to be retweeted, then leave space in your tweet for others to actually pick it up and then leave their own little comments. So try and make it as short as possible.
Yeah, you don't need to fill 140 characters every single time you do a tweet.
No. I know that I'm just thinking backwards a little bit here and thinking about, well, we've talked about the profile and everything, but where do you actually go to do a tweet? Because if you're on your profile, it can get quite confusing. If you're actually not using these other third-party tools and you're at twitter.com and your profile page, where do you actually, make tweets? How do you do that?
If you're on your profile and you're looking at your own profile,
mm-hmm.
then you can just go to click on the home button, and the home button will take you straight there.
And then it has
so
a spot.
Click on the home button, you'll see a little box with the number of followers and the number of people following that you've got. And it'll say compose new tweet, so you just enter it into there. Click on the home button, and that will get you out of trouble.
Perfect. And then the other quick tip on that too, if you're new to Twitter, is there's a what's the tab at the top? Is it interaction or it's the at symbol, right?
It's called App Connect.
Yeah.
App Connect.
So if you click on that, you can actually see the people that are engaging with you versus, with replies or retweets and things like that.
Yes, exactly. So that's a good point. The at symbol before your name means that everybody on Twitter gets to see that particular tweet. All right, so you're doing an at symbol, meaning that it'll be directed to you, but everybody of that person's followers gets to see that tweet. If it's a direct message, a direct message is like a private message, and it's a message between you and the other person. No one else gets to see it. So if you write down, if I wrote down at Heather Porter, this is a great podcast, it gets not only to Heather Porter, her Twitter page, but it gets to all my followers. They get to see that too. It's almost like having an open conversation with the rest of the universe.
Exactly. And I certainly wish that my name, Heather Porter, was still available when I registered for Twitter. Speaking of that, if you guys want to engage with us, I'm Business Hostess. So I'm at Business Hostess. And what are you, Andrew?
I am the SM bloke, the underscore SM, as in social media, just to make sure that's clarified, underscore bloke. So it's the underscore SM underscore bloke.
There you go.
Just do a search for the social media bloke, you'll find me there.
Perfect. So if you actually use the at symbol and then our handle, our Twitter handle, our username, what we just told you guys about, then you can type something after that, and that would actually come up in our interactions area of Twitter. We can actually see that you're commenting to us and sharing a message with us.
Yeah, please do that. Please let us know when you're listening to this podcast. Jump on Twitter, do the at symbol and give our names, and then just say listening to their podcast.
It'd be great, and then we'll respond back to you and say hello.
Yes, awesome.
So, gosh, there's so much to cover really with Twitter. I am already feeling that this is going to already turn into another episode. Are you not? Are you also feeling
that? Well, we could definitely do another episode because there is a whole range of stuff.
Much.
And as I said, I was looking for some info about some of the Twitter products that are out there, and there's not a lot out there. So I think that I'm feeling a new product coming on for us.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we might be doing a Twitter product coming out pretty soon.
I like it. It's very good.
Might have been on the cards already, but I think we're going to do that. So we'll work on that.
Just alone knowing how to do a tweet chat. Man, that was the funnest thing this morning, just to
so
go off
me,
on
so
tangent.
About that. I know, while it's fresh in your mind, and just for people listening,
sure.
Heather said, hey, I'm on a tweet chat. I'm on a tweet chat. Let me get this started because we were a little bit late starting our podcast.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm going to get on this tweet chat. I'm going to start it up. She said, you've got to check it out. So I went and had a look at it. But do you want to quickly just give us an overview of what is a tweet chat? What's all that about? Tell us how it works and why you would get on it.
Gosh, it's the simplest thing that you can use. And it was so much fun this morning. Basically, all you need to do is come up with a term that is, say, a chat that you want to have. So I'll give you an example of one that I was on. It was for speakers. And so the organizers came up with a hashtag speaker chat. What I mean by that, it's basically the hash sign or pound sign, shift 3 on your keyboard. And then the word, all one word. So in this case, it was hashtag speaker chat. And what they did is they researched and they found that this was a term that was not yet used, so they could kind of own it on Twitter. And then every week, once a week, they're going to have a live chat, a live Q&A in Twitter with a particular expert on speaking and being a speaker. So how you do it, it's really easy. You basically jump onto your Twitter account and you use that hashtag, the hashtag speaker chat, and then you just type a question, you type a comment. To really engage in a chat, you use what we were just saying before, the at symbol. So I might say hashtag speaker chat at the SM bloke, the underscore SM bloke.
Yeah.
Wow, I have, thanks for the tip, or what do you think about this? And what happens is that little comment will show up in one space on Twitter. We were directed this morning to a place called tweetchat.com. So it was tweetchat.com/room/speaker chat. And by being in there in real time, I can see every single person around the world that is using the hashtag speaker chat and literally engage with them. And it was incredibly cool because now suddenly I am talking to some of the top experts in the space of speaking with Matt.
So let me clarify this.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking to them, but you're not really. You're typing to them, right?
I'm engaging. I'm typing to them by using the at symbol and their username and asking them questions. And we're talking about really powerhouse of people around the world that I normally probably wouldn't have access to. And here we are having a conversation typing on Twitter. How cool is that?
Wow, that's awesome. So now that's one of the, that's a great point you bring up. The thing with social media these days is it's brought so many people that were so far untouchable. You know, the
yes.
celebrities are out there, the industry leaders, the Fortune 500 CEOs and that sort of thing. You know, it's brought them within reach of the everyday person. And you can really start to connect with some of these people on a level that we've never been able to do before. And speaker chat, tweet chat, I should say, is a great way to do that.
And it's really, imagine that you just, all you have, would have to do is come up with your own hashtag, send an email out to your database and say, hey guys, we're going to talk about, you know, fill in the blanks with your topic. You can ask me anything that you want on this specific time in Twitter. Now, what's mm-hmm. exciting about that is not only do they engage with you, those that have Twitter accounts, but also it becomes viral, because remember, all these people that are communicating with you in this chat, it's also showing up in their own feeds. So their own followers are seeing what it is, and they're thinking, wow, what is this? I want to know what this hash thing, tag thing is. I'm going to go jump in and see what it's all about.
Yeah, right. Wow. So how long did the conversation go for? Is there a set time? What's the limit there?
Yeah, the best thing to do is just set a time, and then you mention that throughout the actual chat when it's happening. In this case, it was an hour chat, and it was just an interview with an expert, and we could ask her whatever we wanted to ask her, and then she would engage back with us.
Wow,
so
that's pretty
very
cool. Now, I've heard some other people, like even Barack Obama and some of those have been involved with some of these style chat things. Whether it's
yes,
YouTube chat, or whether it's on Facebook chat and that sort of stuff. So these platforms are starting to get this whole interaction thing, and they're getting it down pat pretty well, right?
Oh yeah, it's becoming a really big chunk or piece of social media strategy for businesses, because again, it's a very fast, quick, immediate way of connecting with your followers and your public and finding out what they want more of. It's the quickest
yeah.
way I can think of.
I'm looking at it now, thinking that, you know, the going are the days where we just used to use phone for connection.
Mm-hmm.
We've got. If you can't get someone on the phone, you find them on Skype. If they're not on Skype, they're on Facebook. If they're not on Facebook, they're on LinkedIn. Or they may be on one of those apps like Viber on your iPhone, or WhatsApp. Or, you know, there's 100 different ways to get people these days. You really can't hide anymore, can you?
You really cannot. And that's why transparency and really being who you are is so important. Whatever you say, you have no idea when it's going to be picked up and put out across the internet in one way, shape, or form. So
that's very true. You know, I that's very true. I got some. I did a post recently the other day. Within one day, I had this post, this blog post I did, was on two other people's websites. And I'm like, wow! I don't even know who they are that I haven't connected, but they just found me, and all of a sudden now I'm out in front of all of these people.
Yep.
With my blog post, and I'm like, geez, that was pretty quick.
And they and same with videos. Like I've had videos that people use as a resource on their own website, because it's a tutorial video of mine that I have on YouTube, and they'll just go and embed
yes.
it on their site. So, but and this is powerful, and we have a whole other sort of, I guess, system that we're developing right now around about this, exactly this concept of one piece of content and how far and how fast can it go out there on the internet for your own benefit.
Yes.
But that's a whole other episode.
Stay tuned.
About 10 episodes away.
Stay tuned for that one too.
Yeah.
So I think, well, let's, you know what, time's ticking on. I think we should wrap up this Twitter. I know we only covered.
Can we just talk briefly about followers to kind of close on that? Followers and lists, and then I think what we could do, because third-party applications are complex, and I think honestly we could spend almost an entire episode walking through Twitter Deck and Hootsuite and all that.
Let's
so we'll
that.
Do automation next on the next episode.
Okay, cool.
But
cool.
Followers, a little bit more
okay.
about that. How does that work?
Okay, let's talk about followers. So I guess one of the big things about followers is it's not a competition. You know, you don't have to have the most followers in the world. I would rather have 100 people that are going to listen to everything I say and buy my stuff than 100,000 people who aren't even going to care 2 cents what you say tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, so one of the ways, the best ways to grow those is engage people. Just engage people in everything you do. Engage them in your conversations. Get them to know who you are. Get them to become related to you in what you're doing. So keep engaging people. Go and add people that you think are relevant. If someone doesn't respond, it's not the end of the world, but if someone's not engaging with you, then there's no need for you to have them on your list. You can always delist followers if you like. And one of the cool things about that is most people don't take it to heart. So don't take it personally. If someone says that they've unfollowed you, think of it as no big deal.
Yeah, and there's a huge movement right now with social media, especially to have quality versus quantity, opposite way. Yes. Whereas at the start, it was, oh my gosh, get as many followers as I can, get as many likes as I can. It's now reverting the other way because we want people to engage with us, not just to collect followers or likes.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest shift that people are learning now. It was the Wild West, the wild frontier of social media the last 3 or 4 years. But now, as people get onto it more and more and they get savvy, they want to be dealing with people that they want to be dealing with. You know, they don't have to be in front of hundreds of thousands of people because they can still make great money for their business in front of a handful of dedicated people that are going to buy their money and be evangelists for your own business.
Exactly, yeah.
One thing you don't want to do either is go and ask people to follow you. Please come and follow me. Please come and follow me. It's okay to put those little widgets on your website to say follow me on Twitter or follow me on Facebook. But don't go and ask people in a tweet to follow you, because that's just not going to work.
No, that's... And people still do that. It's one of the biggest no-nos. So, what about lists? What are lists?
Well, lists are a great way to sort of control the noise that's coming through on Twitter. So, the thing with lists is that you may have a selection of industry experts, and you want to just see what they're talking about. You don't want the rest of your followers adding bits and pieces, adding links and that. You just want to go and clearly see exactly what the experts are following. So once again, if you were let's say you're in the area of personal development, for instance, and you may want to have people like Anthony Robbins, T. Harv Eker, and that sort of thing in the list because you want to see what sort of content they're delivering through their Twitter stream. You can easily log into your list. You can just add them into the list. It's a very simple process. Log in, just click into your list, look for your list with those people in it, and then all you're going to get in a Twitter stream is like a normal Twitter stream, except it's only coming with those people's tweets coming through. So it's a great way to concentrate on who it is that you want to concentrate on. Now, I know companies that do this with their customers. They'll find out their Twitter names, and they'll put their customers into lists.
Yes.
So that their social engagement sector, or whatever they call themselves at that part of the business, can just look through their customers' tweets and keep an eye on their customers' tweets and say, hey, thanks for, you know, and just respond or add value as the customers go, so that they've got interaction with their customers the whole time. It changes their world completely when they know that someone's interacting with them just because they can.
So like for a list, you can create your own list, and you may make one that's, yeah, exactly your customers, it may be your mentors, it may be industry news, and then add different people to each of those lists. Can maybe I misunderstood, but I had heard the other day that you can actually subscribe to other people's lists or join them, or is that true?
Yeah, you can go and follow other people's lists, you can go and look at other people's lists, and that's a great way. It means you don't have to go and do the work. So if the lists are public, then you can go and find them.
So you can set them to be public. See, that's brilliant. That's another really great way of just putting yourself out as an expert as well. Is if you end up in more of these lists across Twitter, then people are going to start to go, wow, this guy really must be good at what he does. He's in a lot of these sort of, you know, internet marketing lists or, you know, life coaching lists or something like that.
Exactly. So it's definitely a great tool to have. And I talk about lists in Facebook too. You can do the same sort of thing in Facebook. Go and segregate people in Facebook so you can go and just see what they're talking about and concentrate on them without all of the other noise that's going on as well.
Very cool. And I guess as we start to wrap up, one last tool that I really like to use is search.twitter.com. If I just feel like going in there and feeling, you know, just exploring what people are talking about, I'll go to search.twitter.com. So that's http://, not with the www. And in there, you can type in any keyword that you want, and a whole range of people will pop up around that particular keyword. So that's a great place to research your industry, correct?
Yeah, totally. That's the advanced Twitter search tool.
Yeah.
And it really lets you spy on a competition. You can put in tweets that are going to a certain person. So let's say your competition's name was, their handle was at the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put in at the competition and all of the tweets that are going to that person, you can see all of the mentions that are happening, so you can spy on a competition. You can find out all of the tweets that are coming from that person. Or you can find out all of the tweets about that person as well. So it's a really cool way to keep an eye on what's going on.
So guys, I guess as we start to close down on this episode, because I feel like Twitter's an amazing tool and we've really just gotten about to half of it, we'd love for you to use some of these tools and techniques that we just talked about and come up with any questions that you have, and we'll happily answer them in our Twitter episode number 2 that we're going to be recording here shortly in the next week or two. You can ask us questions either on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/autopilotyourbusiness, or our website, which is autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast, and just look for underneath this episode, there's a commenting box area there. Another thing, Andrew, is quickly going to mention, if anybody's just joining us now, welcome. And also, we'd love for you to listen to our podcast number 1, which is what this series is all about. And so, you know, we go through what we're going to be talking about, all of our topics, who we are, and why this podcast came to be. So we'd love you to start there if you're just joining us now.
Yes, totally, totally. And make sure you leave comments. Come and like us on Facebook, as you said, and connect with us on Twitter. We're always checking Twitter.
Yes.
In fact, we even have our own Twitter account as well, AutopilotYourBiz.
We do.
At AutopilotYourBiz, B-I-Z.
Yes. Z if right? You're in Australia.
Z in Australia.
Z or Z.
AutopilotYourBiz. So join us on there as well. So cool, Heather. I know, because otherwise if we don't stop now, we could get into a whole...
The black hole of more information. So we'll dive into it next time. I think this is a nice light dusting of the overall of the importance of Twitter for business.
Yes, yes, yes. And check out tweetchat.com. That's a pretty cool tool as well. If you want to look at getting live chats, if you ever see it pop up, go and have a look.
Yep.
All right, Heather. Our next podcast is going to be on a very special topic. Do you know what that is?
It's Twitter, right?
are we doing number 2 next time?
Well,
I guess we can. Or do we leave it and do something else, then come back to Twitter?
Well, let's jump. Okay, let's do another topic.
Why don't we open up to people and see what they say?
Let's see what they say. So next time we may be Twitter.
Send us a message if you want more Twitter. Tell us. Otherwise, we will. Do something else and come back to Twitter in a few weeks.
Yeah. Either way, we'll continue on this conversation soon.
We will. All right, Andrew, it's been great.
Thank you, Andrew. Always. You too. Thanks, everybody, so much for your support and listening to us. We appreciate it very much.
All right, take care.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All passengers and cabin crew should now be seated with their seatbelts securely fastened.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first officer speaking.
On behalf of your captains, Andrew McCauley and Heather Porter, we would like to thank you for taking the journey with us to autopilot your business. You are now closer to putting your own business on autopilot using the internet. Of course, if you would like to rack up some frequent flyer points, visit our website, www.autopilotyourbusiness.com, or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/autopilotyourbusiness. These frequent flyer points are totally useless, but the information is gold. Until we fly again, happy travels!